The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to us on the Blowtorch. The Blowtorch of the Midwest. That's right, 1280 AM, KYRO, WestplexNewsTalk.com. Make sure you guys check it out every single week. This is the queue. I am your host, Mark Bland, and we got a lot to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. We have a ton to talk about, so let's get this party started. Let's get it started right. Let's get this party started quickly, right? Let it be bang. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special individual who has decided to join the world of politics. That's right. That would be Paul Ryan. Let's talk about this for a few minutes.
Now, I gotta get my screen set up a little bit here because I want to be able to talk to you guys as well as put on a fantastic show for you. I mean, obviously, you listen to The Q because you love to listen to me speak and give my opinions about crazy stuff all over the United States. Well, the biggest story of the day, which has now trumped everything I have, is the introduction of Paul Ryan as Mitt Romney's vice president. Okay. Before Mitt Romney introduced Paul Ryan as his vice president, Romney introduced him as the next president of the United States. So it's either an awkward flub or Mitt Romney knows something we don't. Conspiracy theorists have it all figured out. Either way, he corrected his statement, returning to the stage during Ryan's speech. Every now and then, I'm known to make a mistake. I did not make a mistake with the guy, but I can tell you this. He's going to be the next vice president of the United States. And then there was the unsettling Paul Ryan laughter. I actually think, as a moderate liberal, and I know a lot of you out there do not like the fact that I'm a moderate liberal, which is not my problem. That's your problem. I just give my opinions and I tell you what's on the top of my head each week. It's either yours to listen to and agree with or disagree with, and I don't mind either way, however you decide to go. But let me tell you this. I think Paul Ryan's a really good choice for the GOP because it's a win-win for them. One, he's young enough and strong enough as a candidate to where he could have given Barack Obama a run for his money. Now, the problem is with him being the vice president of the United States or being put into the vice president slot is he's actually dropped a level, in my opinion. Now he's kind of like Biden, kind of like all the former vice presidents, Gore and all them. He's kind of a non-existent need. He doesn't really bring anything to the party that's going to be all that helpful if they do get elected to be president and vice president, because he's going to be that guy who's quiet behind the scenes. You never hear from the vice president. The vice president really doesn't do much. The vice president is more for glad-handing and showing up at events while the president's too busy handling the real business of the United States. So if they got like some expensive dinner up in Massachusetts, the vice president goes, not the president. It's very rare that the president shows up. With that said, that tells me a lot. They're looking towards the future of the GOP. I don't think the GOP thinks that Romney can win. I think that a lot of the GOP and the conservatives out there are still too split, still way too split on where they stand with Mitt Romney as their candidate. They're going to put their vote behind him. But see, that goes back to the old stuff I said on The Q. And you can listen to past episodes of The Q where I talk about this at theqnow.com, www.theqnow.com. This goes back to some of that idea that if you're in the GOP and you're a conservative, you just have the guy you like, but you're willing to sell your soul to the devil at all times. You see, If Barack Obama and John Kerry were going against each other to become potential presidential candidates, okay? Truth be told. There were a couple of candidates a few years ago when John Kerry ran against George Bush that I liked better than John Kerry. I will admit, when push came to shove and I really kind of sat down, I chose John Kerry and I ran with John Kerry. That's who I ran with. Even though some of the other guys seemed a little glossier, I still ran with John Kerry. I liked John Kerry. I put my vote behind John Kerry because I believe John Kerry would do a better job than Bush did. Okay? In the GOP, it doesn't work that way. You don't just choose your guy. Now, of course, there are Mitt Romney fans, and those people chose Mitt Romney. They're just going to run with their guy. There's a lot more guys like Travis Cook, though. Guys that had the Paul Ryans and the Herman Cains and all those other guys that were running. And when their guy fell off the trail and they weren't the guy running up for president in the United States, they didn't look like they were going to be the front runner to get the nomination. They decided, oh, I'm going to be Fairweather fan of Herman Cain and I'm going to put all my money behind Mitt Romney now. I don't like that. I think that shows to me that you have no morals. You're willing to just sell out to whatever's closest to you. And the problem with selling out to whatever's closest to you is that means that you're just willing to bend at all costs to whatever everybody else wants. I like a person who's going to be a little bit more, put their foot down. Someone who's going to stand behind their candidate. And if their candidate does get the run, they're going to be unhappy about that. But they're not going to go give a vote to another guy that they don't totally agree with. You know, it's kind of like you go to the car dealership, you choose a car, you say you want it in red, you get to the dealership a few weeks later, they got it in blue, they ain't got no reds. Similar car, it doesn't have the power windows. It has windows, it just doesn't have the power windows. It's a similar car, but it's not the same car. And do you sit there and go, well, okay, it doesn't have power windows and it's blue instead of red, but I wanted red with power windows. I'll accept blue without power windows. No, you go, hey, if I don't get red with power windows, I'm going to go to another dealership and find red with power windows. I'll give them my money. I want what I want. You don't go to the grocery store. You know, like you can apply this theory to a lot of different things in life, including candidates for president of the United States. You don't just settle for whatever they do bring to you because you're like, well, it is a car and it does have paint on it and it does have windows. They're not power and it's not red, but it's close. It's close to what I wanted. No, you don't do that. That's stupid. You get what you want. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, this world is going down faster than we can all keep up with. It's going down faster. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, I'm going to do everything in my power to bring on a special guest. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and that's what I do. I host a radio show called The Queue on WestplexNewsTalk.com every single week, 1280 AM KYRO. But sometimes, in very rare instances across the United States of America, I am allowed to join in on other shows, and joining me right now on the phones is one of said individuals from another show. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Fred Slow from Too Heavy to Skydive.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Hey, man. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I feel good. I got a lot on the plate with Too Heavy to Skydive, but I always take time for you because I respect you and what you do.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, sir. Did you get weird last night? Did you get weird? Did you weird it up? Did you weird it?
No. I'm on some new stuff. I'm no longer getting weird. School's about to start back up.
You're no longer getting weird at all?
No. So I've slowed it down. I pumped the brakes a little bit.
Oh, that's nice. It's always nice to pump the brakes. So a couple of things going on here. Too heavy to skydive. You guys are in the middle of working, and I hope you got a few minutes to sit here and talk with me, because you know I love having you on the show. Okay.
Like I said, I don't make a lot of exceptions, but for you, almost anything.
Okay, almost anything. All right. A little tug and tickle. I get it. All right. So here's the deal. You guys have an event you're putting together for a young lady who you went to school with. You said.
She was a couple years younger than me, but we spent 1 year together in school.
Okay, one wonderful year together in school.
Right.
Together. And
I like that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, this young lady has come down with a very rare disease that explain to everybody kind of what the situation is.
Well, just briefly for the listeners, because I know you only have so much time, and we explained it in full.
I got two hours. If the story takes less than 2 hours, we're good.
On episode 68 of Two Over the Skydive, you can hear it in its entirety. But friend of Two Over the Skydive and friend of myself personally, Krista Roberson, she has been diagnosed just recently with mold poisoning. She has mold growing within her body.
That's so weird, man. It's odd. Like, I'm not knocking her. I mean, she didn't ask for it. It's not like something you wake up and you go, God, I wish I could have mold growing in my body today. Like, but it just seems so odd that there's, like, something else growing within the body, you know?
It's literally the weirdest thing. You have to be susceptible to it, which is part of it, and it's awful. But some of the effects are her body doesn't move right. She can no longer see. She has difficulty breathing. She can't speak. It's infecting all parts of her body. The most famous case that I always cite when I talk to people is, if you look it up, Jim Henson actually died from this.
Really? This is what took Jim Henson's life?
Yeah, this is, so the creator of the Muppets, he fell victim to this. If you need photos or examples or testimonies or anything just to show you how incredibly horrific this is. So anyway, she's battling right now, and she's young, and she has a spark for life that, well, I don't know about you, Mark, but I myself have not taken advantage of. I've done a lot of things, but I've done them on my own, and I haven't had them taken away like she has. And she's young, and she works at a tanning salon, and maybe she doesn't have medical insurance, and she needs help because the bills are mounting, so we are going to throw a benefit. It's going to be me, and I know you're going to do some things. You're going to be involved, and we're going to grab all the people we've met through sponsorships and activities and events, and we're going to pull them all together and try to raise a lot of money for a girl in need. And I don't know, and you're the same way, Mark, I know, but it helps yourself to help other people out.
Oh,
and,
of course.
And I think...
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
If the benefit's going to be in early October, October 13th, the venue is not quite set in stone. We have an insurance sponsorship issue we're handling, but the attractions, they'll be there. We'll have bands, music, carnival type atmosphere. We're gonna do a car show. Bigfoot's gonna come out. We're gonna have something for every walk of life.
You're gonna drag Bigfoot out of the dusty remains of the closet just for one night.
She deserves it. She needs it.
Bigfoot needs it, or your girl or the lady needs it.
Krista does.
She needs Bigfoot.
Yeah, every string we can pull, any reason we can find to get people out to this benefit. And
I'm sure that if we talked to Krista and we said, hey, Krista, what do you really, really need right now? I'm thinking the last thing on her mind, and I'm just spitballing here, would probably be Bigfoot.
She says, well, you know, I'm in a tough spot, but Bigfoot, I do feel that Bigfoot would be the answer. And I said, well, yeah, obviously. and I'd like to say she's in good spirits, Mark, but she's been just so sick, and she's been so
now, what stage
so
of
for 2 years.
Now, I have a question for you on a personal note. Now, I tend to go down controversial roads sometimes with what I talk about, so don't take it personal.
I walk with you.
Don't take it personal when I ask this question. How far down the road is Krista? Is she closer to the bad part than the good part? Because
yeah, considerably closer.
Okay, so my question at that point, even though I am 100% in, I'm more than willing to try to help out. Is there a cure for this?
Yeah, she and obviously I'm not a doctor, and I'm more of an idiot than an educated man. But it's almost as simple as consuming bleach, but it's not that. It's exactly the way you would clean mold up in your home, except you do it inside of your body, and you don't do it with bleach. You do it with a different mixture, but it's going to have the same result.
Are they going to do this to this young lady?
Yeah. It unfortunately, like we were saying, Mark, it's the price tag that's the issue. We're not at a point where medical care is available to everyone, and whenever we are, that'll be awesome. But we're not yet, and it'll cost per treatment thousands and thousands of dollars, which.
And how old is she? And how old is she?
23.
She's 23 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And what Fred just said to all of us on the queue, was she is in a position where health care is not available to all of us due to our friends, the conservatives, because they're fun, fantastic people.
Some might agree with that, yeah.
And basically, because they all think that it's going to just kill everybody. This young girl who's 23 years old, who gets struck with the most, like, even Jim Henson got to make the Muppets and put out multiple movies before this happened to him. She's 23. She didn't get to make any Muppets. She didn't get to put out any movies about that, you know, make millions of dollars to make herself feel better. And Jim Henson had millions of dollars at his disposal and still died. When Jim Henson passed away in his 50s from this, he had millions of dollars at his disposal. And he still died.
The issue, Mark, with it is it's often misdiagnosed. For many years, they told Krista she had lupus. She didn't.
They told her she had lupus?
Right. That's how difficult it is to diagnose, because it happens so rarely. Hmm. And I'm not going to give you the entire story, but it is awful. But a specialist came in from Vermont and this and that, and now they have pinpointed it, and they know what to do. And like I said, she's already had these mounting medical costs, and there's only more to come. And, you know, the littlest bit helps, Mark. It's, you know.
No, you're right. You're right.
Maybe if you don't have $100, or maybe you don't have the afternoon to come over. But there's a brand-new online fund we just set up through her church. It's at GoFundMe.com/Krista-Roberson-benefit. If not, you can find the link on TwoAvenuesSkydive.com.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. For more information on all of this, as well as to keep up to date on what day and time and what events are going to be going on October 13th, go to TwoAvenuesSkydive.com. Go there. There's going to be links there, and everybody's going to be able to get a hold of all the information that you need if you go to TwoAvenuesSkydive.com.
Then if not there, and you're more of a social media kind of, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, all the updates will be there, but I don't know, we're gonna get a lot of talented people together and do something positive, and it'll be worth your $10 at the door and whatever you decide to do when you're inside, be it the auction or whatever. But if you're not helping others, then what are you doing? That's how I feel.
That's a good point. Now, quick question for you. Did you go watch professional wrestling last night?
No. Oh, last minute I couldn't make it. I heard the show was amazing, though.
Like, why were you not there? What happened?
I had a little run in. I had a long day.
You had a long day.
At the end of the long day, I didn't feel like I would be bringing the proper attitude to the excitement.
I see. You had some issues that changed your attitude considerably.
Yes, I see
what you're saying.
But the reviews online said that they put on an amazing show.
You know, I'll be the first one to give Dynamo Pro wrestling props. You know, I like Jim and Crystal, the ones that own Dynamo Pro, that run it, along with Kenny Jean, some of those other guys over there. I really think they're talented. I think they're smart people. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it a long time, and they got some really, really good workers, really young dudes that I like watching wrestle in that ring, guys that make me pawn for the days when I was actually still good at it. So, yeah, Dynamo Pro, awesome organization. Hopefully we can get Jim and Crystal on the show sometime. I'd love to have them on just to kind of, you know, chop it up about pro wrestling. I never really get to talk about pro wrestling here on the show too often, but here's what we're getting ready to do. Now, is there anything else going on with 2 Heavy to Skydive? Do you got somebody who makes popcorn locally in the St. Louis area that's going to be on your show soon or anything like that?
No, I mean, but if you know a guy, that'd be awesome.
Oh, listen, I know how 2 Heavy to Skydive works. They are shills for everything. You don't even have to, like, you could, like, set up a weekend car wash as the junior marching band from a local middle school, and they will have you on and turn you into the biggest superstars that you ever thought you weren't.
Well, I mean, at least the percussion section.
At least the percussion section. All right, so anyway, we're going to – Fred, you got more time to stick around for a little bit?
Yeah, if you'll have me.
Yeah, I definitely want to have you. In fact, if you want to hang out for as long as you want, you're more than welcome to. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. It's time for CBS News at the bottom of the hour, and when we get back – Fred's got me involved in a fantasy football league. I've got some picks, and we're going to throw them out there. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Gentlemen, 1280 KYROFAM radio, theqnow.com. That's right, theqnow.com. We are recording this, and we're going to be uploading this. This is the show for this week on theqnow.com. Every single week I got a brand new show, and this is the one for this week. Also, joining me on the line right now, sticking around longer than he probably wanted to, let's just be totally honest with each other, is one favorite friend of mine, Fred Slow from Two Heavy Skydive. Fred, what's going on, bud? You good?
It feels like it's getting a little uncomfortable, though.
Why is that? What's going on, bud?
Sticking around longer than I thought I would.
I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to. No one's forcing you to hold the phone up to your ear.
Anything for you, and it's a Bluetooth.
And it's a Bluetooth, and there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, no. Fred, I don't think I wouldn't say he necessarily suckered me, because I'm the one who said that I was willing to do it. But yeah. Fred, you've decided to do something very unique in the world of podcasting and entertainment. Set up a podcast fantasy football league.
Yeah, we did that. I, like most guys, most dudes, I crave competition. I need to validate myself with successes over others.
Right, and that happens quite often against the Q, as we saw with Horse. You are really talented at overcoming the odds of crying in a corner. So congratulations on that, because that worked out.
It's hard for me, Mark, because, you know, I don't have as many listeners as you, and I haven't had the successes as you, and I can't play basketball as well as you, and I'll never, you know, like, career-wise, be at a point where you are now with your brand new delicious sponsor.
American Patriot Beer, by the way, sponsor of the show. They
American
are awesome.
Patriot, which I had since they started sponsoring you, and it's delicious on my lips. So I love their beer and hate you.
You did. So you did try some American Patriot, huh?
Yeah, I saw they had it at the Shop and Save. So I you know me, when there's a chance, I went and had a little drinky drink.
Yep.
And it is just delicious.
It is
so
fantastic.
Good for them. I don't know how you suckered them in. They have a great product.
Yeah, and I really don't. And I'll be honest with you, I don't drink a ton of beer. It's not that I'm against beer. I like beer. I just don't drink a ton of it. You know, I'm usually, honestly, the truth is I'm so busy on a day-to-day basis keeping the pirate ship here afloating, that I just don't have a time to sit down and kind of crack one, listen to Head Game, and you know, pass out. That's not my thing. Like, I can't do that.
No problem. I will drink your part.
That's fine.
That won't be an issue.
There's no problem with you drinking my part for me. You're more than welcome to it.
The Fantasy Football League, it's going to be a big deal, I think. We're going to do our best to tell everyone. Let me start over. I'm going to do my best to tell everyone when I'm beating you.
Right.
And I don't necessarily care if I win the league, but as long as I place ahead of you.
Oh, really?
That's how I feel.
Do you really? I mean, honestly, at this point, you do have to kind of come back on the whole Horse game situation. Obviously, you got your butt handed to you during that.
Yeah, every squirrel finds a nut, yeah.
So every once in a while, a squirrel finds a nut. Now, if I was to take my team, you know, headed up by Tony Siragusa, and was able to whoop you. What? What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
It doesn't make sense that your fantasy football team in 2012 would feature a defensive tackle from 2000.
Well, I don't understand your problem. I don't get it.
I don't think you understand how fantasy football works. It's not your favorite Kansas City Chiefs of the 90s, okay?
Listen, I've got Ricky Williams, and that's all that needs to be said. He's going to be running
from Texas.
He's going to be running the football. Yes. Rod Dane is on my team.
Heisman Trophy winner Rod Dane.
Rod Dane. He's on my team. And you seem to like, every time I bring up the names of my players on my football team, it is a fantasy football team. You can put whoever you want on your fantasy football team. Just like, I don't come to your fantasy in the middle of the night while you're dreaming about two other women. I don't come into the fantasy and go, hey, you know, not those two women. You got to use these two women over here. We just leave your fantasy alone. You know what I'm saying there? So why do you keep messing with my fantasy?
I feel like you interpret words for their actual meaning.
Oh, so I'm taking fantasy, it too literally. Too literal.
The thing is, and I know you mentioned it earlier in the week, but you want to have Trent Green circa 1997 with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark, you can't.
My coach is Don Shula. Don Shula, the coach.
Right, and your head scout is Tony Dungy.
Mike Martz, actually.
You know, hey, good luck, Mark. Good luck. But to give out a couple shameless plugs, it's Two of His Kind Of, it's the Q. We're bringing in some of our best friends in podcasting from the radio off, Clutch and Wiggle, Murphy's Law. We're gonna get us all together and we're gonna do a draft and weekly we're gonna update people on how well or poorly we're doing.
How did we not get Jason Ellis on this?
It wasn't lack of effort. Let's say that much. Turns out they don't care about sports.
That's because they live in L.A. and all they care about is looking tan and drinking lots of beer. American Patriot Beer, which sponsors my show and doesn't sponsor Ellis. Okay? Deal with it.
I want to sponsor American Patriot. I just want to drink it everywhere I go.
No, yeah, here's the problem. It's not going to happen. Stop it. You're too heavy to skydive, and one of their number one requirements is to be able to skydive. You have to be able to skydive to be sponsored by American Patriot Beer. If you're too heavy to skydive, you technically cannot drink American Patriot Beer. You can enjoy it while you're on the ground, but you can't skydive.
I'm drinking it a lot, and I saw American Patriot Beer has a photo contest right now where if you submit photos of you with American Patriot Beer, you have a chance to win the cash prize.
Yes, sir, it is.
So how can I incorporate a Two of a Skydive logo and American Patriot Beer into the same picture?
I don't know. Maybe a picture of you drinking American Patriot Beer with a Two of a Skydive shirt on?
At my local shopping place, sitting on a throne, how they build the Coca-Cola throne.
Oh, dude, you're going to do the throne of American Patriot?
That sounds like the deal to me.
You do what you got to do.
It has surpassed Bud Light products for me. That's serious.
Listen. I've had some. It's delicious. Yeah. There's a reason why they sponsor my show. Because first off, they like the fan base. Two, they want the fan base that I have to drink American Patriot Beer. Three, they want me to tell my fan base to drink American Patriot Beer. Four, my fan base is listening. They are now drinking. Fred. Are you a fan of the Q?
Yeah, yes. Before I was a friend of yours, I was a fan of the Q.
That's right. He was a listener before he was even a friend of mine. And do you drink American Patriot Beer?
I do now.
Proof's in the pudding, ladies and gentlemen. Proof's in the pudding right here live on the show. We have a fan of the Q who happens to also host his own shows, but he's still a fan of the Q. And because of me promoting American Patriot Beer, he went out, he tried it, and when it was all said and done, boom, loves it. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and I would consider myself a connoisseur of sorts when it comes to drinking beer.
That's
as
right.
I've done it in many places and
I
in
think
many different environments.
All St. Louis Metro people think that. They're connoisseurs of beer. In most cases, they're just really connoisseurs of flip-flops cargo shorts and natty light. That's the real truth.
First of all, get out of my closet. Secondly, it's good on like a hot summer day. It was good when it was raining the other day. I had it with dinner. Like these are like I'm having it on different occasions, and it's delicious. I had it playing wiffle ball the other day. It's delicious.
Plus, also, there's two Bryans. There's two varieties. You got light as well as the normal. Right, you got.
I went with the light. I've gone with the light every time.
You got the heavy. You got the light. It doesn't matter. It's delicious. It tastes great. AmericanPatriotBeer.com is the website. Also, check them out on Facebook.com/AmericanPatriotBeer. Go friend them. Go like them. They got the photo contest going on right now at AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Also, like I said, support the local product. They're an American-made St. Louis-homed beer. Support your local beer. That's what I'm trying to tell you. American Patriot Beer, fantastic food, fantastic drink. Put them all together. They're taking back America one beer at a time. And I'm going to be taking down Too Heavy to Skydive in this fantasy football league. Listen, my combinations are amazing. You said Trent Green, and who do I got catching the ball? Steve Largent.
Yep.
Done?
From the Seahawks.
Done. Just done.
Who's like, your running back?
Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas. And Highway BB, baby. Highway BB.
What about? I think you told me earlier when I first invited you to the fantasy football. I sent an email to 10 different people, so it's real vague. And the response I get from you, and I don't get a response from anyone else, is Christian Okoye still available?
Well, you know, I love the Nigerian Nightmare, and I think that this guy, you know, him and Bruce Smith tagging up on the line together, I think it's going to be amazing.
I'm excited for what you do. How about that? Regardless of what happens, I'm excited for trade offers that you're going to make. I'm excited for draft picks you're going to commit to, and I'm excited for where you finish, because in a league of 10, I think you will manage to finish in 11th. So that will be impressive.
All right. So he's like, you got more time to stick around? Finish out the hour with me?
Yeah, I can go another 15.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Take a quick break here on the show on the Q. Check out theqnow.com while we are at break. www.theqnow.com. Old shows, new shows, bios, all the information. If you want to contact me, you want to talk to me. Plus, if you want to call us on the show, you can always call us at 636-356-9266. That's 636-356-9266. I tweet, I Twitter, I do all the good stuff. Find me. Check it out. It's on theqnow.com. We'll be back with Fred Slow from Too Heavy to Skydive right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. And, you know, we're doing our own thing here on the good old show. That's what we do. That's how we do. And right now we have Fred Slow as we have most of this hour on with me. Fred, you doing okay, buddy?
I'm hanging in there.
You're barely there? You're hanging in a little bit?
Yep.
That's good. That's always a good thing. I would assume that that's a great thing. You woke up this morning, toes up, and you were able to put them on the ground and walk around. So then you woke up alive, which is a good thing.
Every day I spend with you is the best day of my life.
I'm going to be really honest with you. You're right. You're 100% right. That is exactly what it is. The best day of your life. Right now. You know what else is a really great day? Huh? Do you?
Tomorrow when the Rams play the Colts.
Are the Rams playing the Colts tomorrow?
Yeah, preseason football, Mark.
It starts tomorrow?
Yeah, for the Rams.
Who's the quarterback of the Rams?
Sam. Sam the Ram.
Can I get Sam the Ram as my quarterback?
Yeah, take him first overall. Go ahead.
Why not? Has he ever won any major awards?
Yeah, won a Heisman.
He won a Heisman Trophy, so he must really suck, right?
No.
Oh, he doesn't?
At all, but
by the way, no. Don't forget, you guys can listen to all Rams season games live here on 1280 AM KYRO, WestplexNewsTalk.com. The Rams do play here on the network. So we are the home of the St. Louis Rams here.
Right. Here. Well, that's awesome.
All right, so where's your litmus on the whole Juggalos, ICP, Insane Clown Posse? Where do you stand on Juggalos in general, sir?
I remember, I'm a younger guy. I'm 27, so I feel like I remember in junior high, somebody had a T-shirt, maybe.
Somebody had a T-shirt, maybe, back when you were in junior high.
Yeah, so maybe 15 years ago.
Something like that.
Is it still a thing?
It sort of is. The 13th Annual Gathering of the Juggalos is underway in Cave in a Rock, Illinois, this weekend, and the ninjas are not effing around this year. Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, the godfathers of the Juggalos movement, and the duo that comprises the Insane Clown Posse, reportedly sat everyone down in a seminar tent yesterday afternoon, that would have been Friday, to announce that they are taking legal action against the FBI. Now, in November of last year, the FBI made a bold decision to classify Juggalos as a hybrid gang in its annual National Gang Threat Assessment Report. Today, the reports the Village Voice reporter and pioneering Juggalo journalist Camille Dodero, ICP sat down for their annual seminar session at the gathering. They teased that they'd be making the biggest announcement of their careers on Twitter, and according to Dodero, they didn't disappoint unless you were looking for an ICP-approved explanation of how magnets work, because they have their famous miracle soul.
No, right.
Yeah. Along with the lawsuit, ICP's label, Psychopathic Records, has launched a website called Juggalos Fight Back, where ninjas and ninjettes can share incidents in which they believe they've been treated unfairly by law enforcement. Those will in turn be reviewed pro bono by Psychopathic Records' legal team. Also, as those come in, ICP hopes that they'll start to build a legitimate case against the FBI's classification. The real FU to the government, though, is that Cave in a Rock this weekend, the Juggalos' alleged hybrid gang members are engaged in the personal drug use and possession, and sure, maybe some petty theft and vandalism to go along with it. They earned themselves the classification in the first place, and there's nothing the FBI can do about it. The gathering sits on private property, and the on-site security has never attempted to obstruct the festival's drug trades. For at least the next couple of days, the Juggalos will sling peacefully onwards. So, okay, my question for you, Fred, is as a avid fan of music and American Patriot beer, as we've discussed, while drinking your American Patriot beer and listening to your great Malenko albums, do you think that ICP has a foot to stand on personally? You know, your personal opinion. Do you think they got a foot to stand on here? Or do you think that in the overall scope of things, these guys, and not necessarily ICP themselves, I think the problem that we get is that ICP are kind of like the president of the United States. He's not the one doing bad things, but, like, everything rolls downhill. So it starts at the top. So the minute something bad down here happens, they look straight up to the president, you know? So just like that, once something bad down here happens with some of the members of ICP's followers, they immediately look straight to the Insane Clown Posse, even though they technically themselves are not doing anything wrong whatsoever.
On Two Every Skydive, we try to look at things a little differently. We see the story for what it is, but we always try to dive a little deeper. So let me just ask you a couple cool questions before I get to that. If a gang classification means what for you? It probably means that your apparel, your ICP apparel, is probably classified as gang clothing.
Right.
So that means it's probably not going to be sold now. I don't know where it's sold. It's probably, Targets, Hot Topics, things like that.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure these places are not going to carry their apparel anymore.
Potentially, but I think in this case they got nailed for drugs. It was more like the fact that the individuals that follow ICP are more drug-related.
Right. I understand that, but what I mean is, like, there's a financial implication. Like, if they're going to have concerts and you're labeled as a gang, I'm sure your insurance is going to go through the roof.
Right.
I'm sure there's going to be just all kinds of implications from this gang labeling that's going to affect, I think, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. Is that his name?
Now, there was a huge write-up in Maxim magazine a couple of years ago about record labels like ICP, these horrorcore rap labels, and how there have been some murders and killings associated with the drugs and the things that everyone does within those different labels. So
tequila. Didn't she get beat up by a bunch of ICP guys?
That was last year at Cave in the Rock, Illinois. She actually got up on stage, and that's when they threw feces and rocks at her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, like, here's the thing. Like, I understand where our friend, I understand where our friends ICP stand. They're like, it's not us. We are just rappers that do this for a living. They're fans of our music. We are not the guys going out, pulling guns, selling drugs, raping girls, killing people, things like that. We're not them people. So stop associating that with ICP. But the problem is that ICP's brand, similar to your brand, Too Fat to Skydive, right?
It's too heavy.
It's too fat to skydive? Oh, I'm sorry. Heavy. It's too heavy to skydive? I'm sorry that I made that mistake live on my show, and I didn't say I'm sorry for it.
No, I understand.
No, I hope you do. I hope you do, because I would never make that mistake. Too Heavy to Skydive is your brand, and your brand is associated with that specific thing.
Right.
So you would never want your brand of Too Heavy to Skydive to be associated with drugs and gang activity and things like that. I think ICP understands that. They're trying to take it, like you said earlier to me about the football pool, too literally. They're trying to look at this as a, you're literally talking about Jay and Shaggy 2 Dope. Like, no, we're not talking about Jay and Shaggy 2 Dope. We're talking about your brand. And your brand sends to have these people underneath it. And the first words out of their mouth when they get arrested or whatever, they're like, yo, I'm a ninja. I'm a juggalo ninja, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So
whoop,
immediately,
right.
Whoop, whoop. And then before you know it, it's whoop, whoop. Dude was pushing a kilo of heroin, and he murdered two people last night. But when he got arrested, the first words out of his mouth were, whoop, whoop, I'm a ninja, I'm a juggalo.
You had me sparked in the very beginning. You said that Shaggy, 2 Dope, and Violent J announced it to a crowd of people. Well, here's the quote I just found. And it says, the lawsuit announcement came during an hour-long briefing with several hundred fans at the 13th gathering of the juggalos. The news prompted an ecstatic crowd roar and chants of family, family. So you're telling me they're going to tell a gang of people that they're a gang? And then they're only going to support that idea as a group. Perception is often reality, Mark, and I don't know how they're going to be able to escape this.
Right,
like,
and here's the thing.
They're going to have a lawsuit all day.
I don't have a problem against I don't have a problem with juggalos. I don't have a problem with anyone who likes ICP or juggalo music. I have friends. I got a friend of mine, a specific friend of mine, Andy Eckel. Andy's been on the show many times. Andy is a diehard follower of ICP. He has been for many years. Tattoos, all of it. He's got memorabilia, clothing, and all that. He's a professional firefighter. For one of the St. Louis fire departments, okay?
Sure.
Professional firefighter. He saves people's lives. He's not a bad guy. Now, when he got into all that stuff, he was a lot younger and a lot more wild. But now he's a professional firefighter. I have nothing but utmost respect for my guy, Andy. Do you see what I'm saying? He's still a fan of the band, but it's not one of those things where he's going around and going out of his way to go to, like, the Juggalo gathering and things like that. You can be a fan of things. You don't have to be crazy. Okay, here's the thing, Fred. It's about time for us to get out of here for this hour. We're at the top of the news break here, the CBS news break. TooHeavyToSkydive.com is the website. Go check that out. They have links for Krista Roberson's fund on TooHeavyToSkydive.com. And stay tuned for the football pool situation. We're going to have Fred on again real soon. In fact, maybe we'll make it a weekly thing where we have Fred from Too Heavy to Skydive on to talk about it. Thanks so much for being on the show with me today, Fred.
Hey, thank you, Mark.
Hey, no problem, man. We'll talk to you guys later. We'll be back on The Q right after this. Go check us out, TheQNow.com. I like the way you do that right there, right there. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and you are listening to this on WestflexNewsTalk.com, 1280 AM, a KYRO, the blowtorch of the Midwest. I am your main man, Mark Bland, and I do host The Q every single week for a total, and I mean a whopping total. Hold on 1 second. Friend, it looks like, decided to join us here in the studio. I had to make sure that that friend stayed outside of the studio because I don't feel like getting stung. I found out my nephew got stung by a bee for the first time earlier today via the Facebook twists message Twitter spaces or whatever it is. And that's always a traumatizing young thing for people out there. If you'd like to get on the phone lines with me here on The Q, I have open phone lines for the next hour. That's right. Anything you want to talk about at all, you want to talk about Paul Ryan becoming the GOP's running man for the vice presidential slot, give me a call, 636-356-9266. You want to talk about guns because of the Sikh situation that happened up in Wisconsin, as well as the Colorado shooting. You want to talk about guns and whether we should allow guns to be held or not held by people or anything like that. Give me a call, 636-356-9266. If you believe that I should have Christian Okoye, the Nigerian nightmare from the 1990s Kansas City Chiefs football team, on my front line for my fantasy football league, you give me a call, 636-356-9266. Just got back from Las Vegas, Nevada, where I had some meetings with some high-powered MMA guys. UFC type individuals. And fantastic meetings to potentially do some play-by-play online stuff for them, because I have a large background from my days of Combat Showcase, which was a nationally syndicated television show from like 2009 through 2010, like two seasons, called Combat Showcase. We were on in like 70 or 80 different markets to the tune of about a potential hit base of about 70 million people. But we averaged out a few hundred thousand viewers a week on that show. And, you know, I had a lot of fun doing it. I was talking about Andy earlier with Fred in the last hour. Andy was my co-host on there. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of good times. And, but, you know, I have an experience and a background in mixed martial arts play-by-play calling. And I've been doing it for a long time. I used to host the Fox Sports MMA show for the St. Louis area and all that. So I just got this background in it. Went out there, had fantastic meetings. Everything went out. I'm going to keep you guys abreast of what happens with that, because maybe sooner than later you'll be seeing me on TV or something. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. But I'd love to hear from all of you. 636-356-9266. So we talked about the Insane Clown Posse and how they were having issues. Let's move on in the stories going around the interwebs today. And by the way, you can always follow us on Twitter and Facebook if you go to theqnow.com. The links for our Facebook and Twitter are on the main page. You can always go to at theqcast, T-H-E-Q-C-A-S-T, theqcast. That's our Twitter handle. Or you can go to facebook.com/theqnow. There it is. I don't understand this. I don't get it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But there's a report coming out of Hollywood. And you know I'm not one much for the Hollywood side of things, but I don't mind every once in a while. That Lindsay Lohan went out of her way to try and put a kibosh on Francesca Eastwood's birthday party. And I don't understand this, because it makes no sense. Like, at no point in the last 12 years have we heard Francesca Eastwood's name come up in regards to anything that had to do at all ever. At all ever with one Lindsay Lohan. But Francesca Eastwood's birthday party at the Bootsy Bellows nightclub in West Hollywood came to a temporary halt on Tuesday night when Lindsay Lohan showed up and demanded the reality TV star leave post haste, sources told Us Weekly. The 25-year-old mean girl reportedly tried to throw around what little weight she has left, but only ended up embarrassing herself in front of Clint's daughter and her entourage. That's right. Francesca was celebrating her birthday with around a dozen friends in a private area when Lindsay came over and started screaming that Francesca should leave. She was yelling, "I'm a star, she's a nobody, get her out of here." In an attempt to calm Lilo down, was rebuffed, and security was ultimately forced to remove the quell the hullabaloo. Lindsay was asked to leave in acquiescence, though not before almost killing someone in the process. Lindsay's friend was driving, and when they sped away, almost hit one of the valet guys, the Gossip Mag told a mole. So, I find that very interesting. Lindsay Lohan has now gotten to the point where she has literally careened her entire career off of the stage. She's done. She has nowhere else she can turn. She doesn't have any friends that give a care anymore. Her movie career is literally now Lifetime movies, and that's it. If she's lucky, she's going to get Lifetime. Whereas most people, worked really hard, got onto a TV show, things worked out for a little while well for him, and then they kind of had no choice but to drop back into Lifetime movies. She was an actual movie star, top billing on multiple movies, and she is now dropped to Lifetime movie status, like Bravo movie status. Like, she's done. It's amazing to see how someone can mess it up. Like, a guy like me, who's on a smaller radio station, CBS News affiliate, KYRO, 1280 AM here, out of Moscow Mills, Missouri. I'm not on one of the other big ones in town. Like, there are stations larger than ours. Nothing against them or nothing against KYRO. They're a great station. I love being on KYRO. Fantastic station. But, you know, I'm trying to move up the ladder of success. And as I try to get up, you know, you heard earlier, Fred, he doesn't like to get weird as he likes to call it drink anymore. That's not his thing. He's trying to make moves to better himself in the overall as a person. I'm not making no mistakes. I've never been arrested. I've never been, you know, screwed over by anyone. I don't do bad things. I'm a smart guy who always plays above board. I don't lie. I'm 100% honest at all times. You know, I've never been arrested, never got in trouble for anything. You know, I'm a really good person, honestly, straight up. I'll tell you that to your face, and you can go search it up on your own. You don't even have to. You know, there's tons of websites out there where you can go and get my name and my birth date and all that, and you can give it to these people, pay $25-$30, and they'll do an entire background check on me and send it to you. So you can find out if I've ever been arrested and all that stuff. Go for it. Never. She gets the world handed to her on a plate, and she throws it away like it's a piece of trash. I think that's a bunch of BS, but that's just my personal opinion. I don't know where everybody else is mentally on the Olympics. I don't know what the big story of the Olympics is. I think that's my biggest problem that I have right now. I was talking to my mom and dad about this. I don't know. What do you think the big story of the Olympics is? 636-356-9266. Give me a call. What do you think the big story of the Olympics is? Do you think it's the women's volleyball team? The women's volleyball, sand volleyball team winning their gold medal again. Third in a row. Unprecedented. Misty May Trainer, I think is her name, and her partner. The men's water polo team? Huh? A sport that no one really pays attention to here in the United States all that often. What about the women's soccer team? I mean, I think the women's soccer team does have a little bit of something that they can play from. Just for the fact that they were in the World Cup against the same exact team that they beat for this gold medal. And I think that's what makes it amazing, is that they lost the – now, at that point, you have to ask yourself the question, what's the bigger prize? I mean, this is more of like the gold medal in the Olympics for women's soccer or for soccer in general is probably the concession prize. Like, as a soccer team, it's great to get a gold medal for playing basketball for the United States men's team, which I think that game's today. But winning the NBA championship is what you dream of as a little boy. Getting the gold medal and playing for your country is cool, and it's always nice, as long as you get to hang that medal on the replica of the NBA championship cup that you get for winning the world championship on the NBA side. I would think that in soccer, the World Cup is like the coup de grace. That's the one you really want, because it's just like the Olympics. It's every 4 years. You want the World Cup, and you want that ability, and that was a heartbreaking loss. Shootouts. An overtime and then shootouts for the World Cup. And you lost on a shootout for the World Cup. Then you turn around a year later, you go right back into the Olympics, and you play the exact same team you lost the World Cup to. You play them and beat them in the Olympics for the gold medal. So you kind of get your comeuppance, and you're like, yeah, we are better than you. We were better than you that day. But you weren't better than them that day. That team was better than you that day. And from what I've heard, a majority of the women's soccer team that won the World Cup a year ago in Japan, half of them are gone now. They're not even on the Olympic team that was playing against the women's U.S. team the other day. So now you're not even really playing the team that beat you in the World Cup. You're playing half a team that beat you in the World Cup. But you did get your revenge. You beat Team Japan, the team that beat you the year before for the World Cup, and you got the gold medal. It's more of a concession prize to me. So are they the big story, or is it Gabby? What is it? Is it Gabby? The young black gymnastic sensation. Is she the big story? I would love to hear what everybody else thinks. I'm more partial to the side sports. Okay, now I'm asking you about the big sports. But I'm more partial to the side sports for the fact that I like watching fencing. I like watching the sports that you never get to see. I'll watch track racing. You can watch BMX stuff on ESPN2 and things like that, but I'll watch track racing, okay? I will watch, and like the one of the cool things about the Olympics is like Usain Bolt. By the way, did you hear that he has no respect for Carl Lewis? Amazing. Now, the fact that he runs much faster than Carl Lewis ever ran is regardless of the fact. Usain Bolt took a momentary break from basking in his historic Olympic sprint double to fiercely criticize former U.S. athlete Carl Lewis. Soon after winning gold in the 200 meters at the London Olympics for the 100-200 titles back-to-back games, Bolt said Thursday he had lost all respect for Lewis after the American was quoted as saying Jamaica's doping controls were not as strong as other countries. Okay. Straight up, not joking in the least bit. I saw this little piece of information a few weeks ago, right before the Olympics started. based off of general qualifying times over the last two Olympics alone. So Beijing and Sydney, I think, was 2002. Okay? Or 2004. Yeah, 2004 was Sydney, Australia, if I remember correctly. Okay. Over the last two, based off just the qualifying times. We're not even talking about the semifinals and the finals for the actual gold medals. We're just talking about the qualifying time races to get into the semifinals and the finals, potentially. Ben Johnson, who went down for the famous Ben Johnson, Carl Lewis raced Ben Johnson in 1988. Or was it 80? It was 88. It was 88 for the gold medals. And Ben Johnson won. And they stripped him of his gold medals. They said he was blood doping, which is illegal to do. And they said that's why he ran so fast and he was able to beat Carl Lewis. So they stripped him of his medals. Now, what's really funny about that situation is his split times blood doping in 1988 are like a second fast or a second slower than the people in 2012 that aren't blood doping at all. Like, I don't believe that Usain Bolt is blood doping. I could be completely wrong, and I could be misrepresenting this completely, but the truth is I don't believe that Usain Bolt is blood doping. I really don't believe he is, because he whipped everyone's butt 4 years ago. 4 years ago, when nobody knew who his name was, no one knew he existed as a person, this dude stepped out almost three body lengths on everyone in that final and broke the world record at the time and got himself a gold medal. He just turned around again in this Olympics with everyone talking about Tyson Gay and all the other sprinters that had come up, including Usain Bolt's countryman, Robert Blake or whatever his name was. Blake, whatever. I can't remember his name. Anyway, they're all talking about them being the favorites to win. And he turns around again and beats them by almost a full body length, a full stride length. I don't think the dude is blood doping. I think he's just tall and he runs. And because he's got such long legs and he's so fast, he actually runs physically faster than everybody else because he takes less steps. That's what I honestly believe. But you cannot sit here and tell me Carl Lewis, and I'm not against Carl Lewis, I love Carl Lewis, but you cannot sit here and tell me that you, by any means whatsoever, at all, have the right, or even the idea of the right, that you're going to claim blood doping on a guy like Usain Bolt when your fastest times in 1988 were a second slower than these guys who are just qualifying. Guys that aren't blood doping who run for Trinidad and Tobago. You're not even as fast as the guy from Trinidad and Tobago in 2012. Your fastest times in 88 are not as fast as that guy's. Obviously, people become faster and faster and faster. But at the same point, I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess you have a, you could say something if you were running. Here's the real question. Who was America's greatest track and field athlete for many years? Michael Johnson. Where's Michael Johnson been? What has he been up to? Why is he not doing play-by-play for the United States Olympics? Him in his gold shoes, breaking world records in the 200 and the 100, all this other stuff. Dude, Michael Johnson was the man, dude. I want to see some more Michael Johnson. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you can check us out every single week, Saturdays from noon until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on WestplexNewsTalk.com, 1280 a.m. KYRO, as well as nationally every single day of the week on TheQNow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, as well as our Wednesday night foray into the uncensored for 1 hour on Wednesday nights from 8 until 9 p.m. on iWatchRadio.com. Also, don't forget, we are sponsored by American Patriot Beer, our new sponsor here. We love American Patriot Beer. My guy Sam and a bunch of those individuals over there, great, great people. Check them out, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. That's where you can find out more about them. And pick up yourself a 12-pack of the light or the normal, the regular. The regular or the light. Anytime you are at a local shopping plex. And if you live in a part of the country that does not get American Patriot beer, you're missing out, man. Talk to your distributors. Talk to your stores within your town. Get them to AmericanPatriotBeer.com and have them try to get some of that good, delicious beer out to your neck of the woods, wherever you're at nationally. I know I got some guys that listen from Australia as well as Ireland. You know you love beer in Ireland. You know you love beer in Ireland. So why don't you get some American Patriot beer over in Ireland, and we'll put the test, put it to the test. Yeah, lots of things going on. I was talking about the Olympics there, and I don't understand the Usain Bolt thing. Like, I don't get why our friend. I just don't get why Carl Lewis would say what he's saying. Like I'm not, nothing against Carl Lewis. He's great. But Carl, you're like so far behind the times. Like, it's just not, is it worth it? Is it even worth it right now? I heard there was a big incident this past weekend where they showed the Roseanne Barr roast on Comedy Central. And one of the things that had happened was our friend Roseanne happened to have on Jeffrey Ross. Now, Jeffrey Ross, if you don't know, is a relatively well-known comedian. He kind of has the frizzy fro hair all over the place. That's his thing. And he decided to come out on the show dressed as Joe Paterno and with two young boys in tow with him. And it kind of caught a lot of media backlash. At the same point, I want to defend Jeffrey Ross. Now, I know all of you conservatives out there that listen to KYRO because you love every show that comes on before me, like G. Gordon Liddy or everybody else, like, or Dennis Miller or any of the shows locally here that are just super conservative. They have to be conservative all the time because it's the only way in life and it's the only way to get to the top. No, I step on those people. I move past those people. Those people think they got it all figured out. They have nothing figured out. Okay? I have no problem with Jeffrey Ross making fun of Oklahoma City bombing. I have no problem with him making fun of 9/11. I have no problem with him making fun of the Colorado shooter a few weeks ago. I have no problem with him dressing as Joe Paterno and making pedophile jokes. Do you know why I have no problem with these things? Not because I have a cold heart or I don't have a bone in my body that's of a moral cause. That's not true at all. I'm completely morally convicted. I understand how morals work. I understand how you shouldn't go down certain roads. But what I don't understand is how you can go to a roast where people are going to be verbally on edge. They're going to go out of their way to say things and do things over the edge on purpose. That's what the purpose of a roast is. To tear in the most edgiest comedy, the funniest stuff, the stuff that is taboo, the roast is the last bastion of hope for a comic like a Jeffrey Ross who likes to do taboo comedy. The roast is the last bastion of potential. Like, look at the stuff that the Rat Pack and them would say on television back in the day compared to the stuff they would do on the Dean Martin roast, two totally separate versions. You saw a much dirtier, grimier, edgier side of Dean Martin and them guys on that roast than you ever saw on national TV. It's because they understood that the roast was the last place they could get away with taboo at comedy. I support Jeffrey Ross. Dress how you want. Say what you want. It's comedy. That's the point. If you don't get the joke, then it doesn't matter because the joke wasn't meant for you then. You're watching comedy. How can you sit there and say something's not funny if it's designed to be funny? We'll be back on the queue right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, a little real big fish in the background, sellout, bringing us back here on the queue. We got a little bit of time left here together, so let's keep it going. Let's just keep doing our thing that we do so good. Evidently, it's okay to be a hater because everything is bad. That's right. Everything is bad out there. Almost everything is bad, usually really bad, and not even bad in an interesting way. Tech is no exception. If anything, tech might be worse than of the bad. The internet, gross. The people who use it, ugly. And that's fine to hate it all. If you walk out of your door during daylight, you'll have to look at your feet in order to not see some type of horrible, and even then you might be wearing some dumb shoes I hate, or those dumb finger shoes or whatever, you know. If you wear those, go to hell. I'm just going to be honest with you. Also, you look up and I bet you see somebody wearing Beats by Dre headphones, following back to his apartment, and he'll probably have some idiot overpriced Bose sound dock that plays music just as well as some cheaper, but because he's suggestible semi-human, he bought the bulky rainbow idiot headphones that dock. He bought them because he wants to look cool and feel cool and be accepted. And he is, because everyone around him is just as dumb. Look at the girl wearing the Beats by Dre too. They're all idiots. Everybody is an idiot nowadays. Now, I brought that up for one reason and one reason only. I think that as a society, we've become, how should I put this? Desensitized to an extent. I don't want to say fully desensitized, because I don't think we are. I think we notice it a lot more, but I think we've become desensitized to an extent of people just being weird and dumb or whatever. Okay? Let me explain this to you. Okay? We as a society now accept everyone for everything that they bring to the table because we are afraid of what potentially could happen. What potentially could happen to us as people if we say something or have an opinion opposite of others. You see, I run a show that tends to be not controversial for the sake of controversy. You know, like, whereas Howard Stern went out of his way to be controversial just because he knew it was getting everyone's goat. I just have a different opinion than most conservatives. So therefore, by nature of the fact that I am on the opposite side of the fence from them, they immediately look at me as an enemy. They immediately think that I'm trying to be controversial and I'm just against them and I'm this and I'm that. No, I admit it at the top of my show. Paul Ryan, good choice for vice president of the United States. Better choice to be a president candidate against Barack Obama. I think you'd have a better chance of winning, because I still think that Mitt Romney's going to knock you down a notch. But, you know, I still understand and see where a good move is being made. Like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not that guy that no matter what, if his team's getting beat, but I see some guy making a miraculous play on the football field, I'm not going to give him a high five just because he's on the other team and I'm against him. No. If he makes a fantastic play that even me in the exact same position on my football team potentially couldn't have made, and he does an amazing catch, I'm going to give him props for that. I'm going to give him a little dap. I'm going to give him a little high five. Hey, great job, man. That was great. Even though you scored 7 points on my team and you made me look stupid, I'm still going to give you props for that, because that was an amazing catch. Like, we have to get away from this "it's my way or the highway" attitude. But I think we become desensitized to an extent. You can be an idiot. You could be an idiot. You don't have to have a thought in your body because you're afraid of, if you say something, it's going to turn into a situation. Perfect example. I went to Las Vegas, like I said earlier, for the last few days to do some meetings. It was me and my wife out there, and we were staying at the Gold Nugget. Now, the Gold Nugget by itself, beautiful hotel, well-run, beautiful rooms, great place. Location on Fremont Street, the old cowboy, cowgirl, you know, glitter gold signs and all that. Old town, Fremont Street's the covered area. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hotel. I had a serious issue with it. That serious issue is children. They designed their swimming pool at the Gold Nugget, which is the only pool that happens to be on Fremont Street primarily. They designed it to be kind of like rehab, which is the famous pool at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, the one that's on TV, where all the young jet setters from the age of 21 up to 29 are all drinking and having a good time with their barbed wire tattoos on their elbows and their arms and stuff like that. And all the girls are hot in their young bikinis and stuff like that. And it's all for the young Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian set. That's what it's designed for. Young people partying and having a good time at a pool, drinking and spending $9 on Bud Lights when it would cost you six bucks for a six pack here in St. Louis. Okay. But we don't care about Bud Light. We care about American Patriot beer. Don't forget that. Six pack of American Patriot. But they didn't have American Patriot in Las Vegas, so I had to deal with Bud Light. Regardless of that, here's the situation. I'm sitting at the pool with my wife, and we see a kid come up out of the pool. Now, this hotel is crawling with children, all the way from 3 months old, all the way up to 17, 18, 19 years old. It's crawling with children because it's the only place on the cheap Vegas Strip, well, which is the downtown strip, the old Fremont Street area. That's the cheap part of Vegas. That's the only place that has a legitimate swimming pool that's worth a family's time to go to. So therefore, they're just pulling in tons of families. Let me tell you what it's like at 2 o'clock in the morning after you lost $100, walking down a hallway drunk off your butt, and you get plowed into by a 13-year-old and a 14-year-old who basically stiff-arm you like they are Ron Dayne from the University of Wisconsin. Stiff-arming you to try to get into the goal line, okay? It's a mind-blowing experience, especially when you're on the top floor of the suites, okay? Where you don't think there's going to be kids. Kids are not designed to go to Las Vegas. There are three hotels in Las Vegas that kids can go to, and it's designed for kids, okay? Circus Circus, the Excalibur, and MGM. And MGM is really, really not even designed for kids, but MGM has the whole Wizard of Oz thing going on and all that, so you might be able to pull the kids aspect out of the MGM thing a little bit easier than most of the other resorts. Circus Circus, definitely, with the theme park. And Excalibur with the video game arcade and the whole idea that it's an old school kids castle and all that, okay? They're designed for the kids. You do not take kids down to the old part of Vegas, which is downtown Vegas, Fremont Street, where you could get shanked at 2 o'clock in the morning by the El Cortez. It's not designed for kids. I saw a dad hand a 36-ounce tall boy beer wrapped in brown paper bag to his 12-year-old son and had him take a sip out of it at 1:30 in the morning. Ridiculous. Okay, back to the pool story. We're at the pool. Designed for the jet sets, the Lindsay Lohans, the Kim Kardashians, the young 22, 23, 24-year-old kids that are old enough to drink, but they're not quite adults yet. They really don't have an idea of what's going on in life. They got their general ed degree from freaking whatever university it was, but they really have no idea where they're going in life. They just like partying and drinking and sinning in Sin City. That's what they like to do. 10-year-old kid pops up out of the water underneath this guy who happens to be floating, because you can hold drinks inside the pool at these pools in Vegas. Pops up out of the water and smashes right into this guy who's holding, like, I would say it was like a Jack and Coke or something like that. In the pool. He's got it in his hand. He's taking sips of it. Kid comes up because he's swimming underwater. He doesn't know where he's coming up. Comes up, pow, right into the dude's hand. Knocks half of the stuff into the water. Of course, the guy, very angry, says, "What the blank, you little Emmer blanker." Okay, all that good stuff. Kid's 10 years old. He says, "Man, I'm sorry. I apologize." "Yeah, you should be sorry, you little blank, blank, blank." Just tears into the kid. Kid goes and tells his dad. Dad goes and gets security. Security and the dad come over to the guy, and they proceed to have a discussion about the kid swimming in the pool, knocking the guy's drink out, and stuff like this. Here's what's really funny about this. As much as I hate the 22-year-old D-bag who's in the pool, because I'd like to punch him in his Pauly D hair face faster than anything else in the world, and I probably could get away with it because I'm a pretty big dude, I agreed with the guy. There is no place in Vegas, down on Fremont Street, or anywhere beyond those hotels I mentioned earlier, that kids should be hanging out in Vegas. He shouldn't have to worry about a 10-year-old popping his head up and smashing his drink into the pool. I agree with the D-bag. I hate that, but I agree with the D-bag. He's right. Now, he overreacted to a 10-year-old kid who apologized to him. And yeah, he should have been taken to task for acting like a D-bag. Once the situation went down and the kid apologized to him, he continued to act like one. But when it was all said and done, I turned to my wife and I said, I kind of agree with the 22-year-old guy. There should be no kids here. At 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm walking through a casino, I do not want to get stuck behind someone pushing a stroller with a four-month-old in it. There should be no four-month-old awake on the strip in Vegas hanging out in a casino at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have a six-month-old at home. He needs to sleep a lot, and he's usually sleeping at night. So, yeah, I got some problems with ourselves. And that's where that desensitization comes in. Because by the time I left Vegas, I was almost desensitized to the fact that there was a bunch of D-bags and idiots who are bringing their kids to Vegas. We have a lot of idiots in this world, and I don't understand why we have so many idiots. Maybe you guys can explain to me, 636-356-9266. That number again is 636-356-9266. Give me a call. Love to hear what you got to say. We'll be back on the queue after this.
You shot it out, but I can't hear.
ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. David Guetta featuring Sia, Titanium. That's the song we're playing here. I want to make sure that everybody knows kind of what some of the music. If you like the bumper music, you know, go download it. Go over to iTunes. Go get yourself on your phone. Download something from Amazon.com, whatever you got to do. Don't forget, we are sponsored here on the queue by American Patriot Beer, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Go check them out. Yeah, lots of things. I was talking about crazy stuff going on in Vegas and crazy stuff in the world in general. I just don't know where we're going in, as a country anymore. Do you know who let's talk a little bit about Paul Ryan, who's going to be the vice president potentially of the United States because of what's coming up with the election in November. I still don't think that they're going to win. Their chances of winning are better now than they ever were before. But Representative Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, reportedly Mitt Romney's pick to join the Republican ticket, which he was, voted twice in 2004 and 2006 to amend the U.S. Constitution to prevent same-sex couples from marriage, taking action on issues his running mate has largely avoided. On voting for an amendment in 2004, Ryan issued a news release saying, "I believe that marriage should remain between a man and a woman, and I have heard from many of the people I represent who are concerned about activist judges abusing their power and rewriting our society's definition of marriage. I had hoped that this amendment wouldn't be necessary, but increasingly it appears that laws such as Defense of Marriage Act will not be sufficient to protect marriage from certain courts and distort state and federal constitutional laws." We need to talk, ladies and gentlemen. We need to talk here on the queue. The reason we need to talk here on the queue is because of this. For as much as they go around talking about how there needs to be separation of church and state, and they're all about the, you know, like, okay, one of the, let's talk about two things. One, religion has no play in politics. Stop it. You want religion to have a play in politics. You want it to be the whole religious aspect. I go to church on Sundays, and therefore, because I go to church on Sunday, I want it, my politics to reflect my church-going ways on Sundays. Stop that. Stop that. Imagine if religion didn't even exist. Imagine if we all were Hindus or something else, some religion that doesn't have any like basis in government. Stop it. They are not one and the same. They are not a part of the same game. Yes, people try to attribute them to part of the same game, but they are not a part of the same gang at all in the least bit. It's ridiculous. I don't understand why people in the United States of America take what is typically politics and mix it with religion. At no point in history has it been a heavy burden. Now, I know that at times in history, they have mixed with each other. At times in history, they have been one and the same to an extent. But for the majority of the history of our world, politics and religion have not mixed and not mixed well at all. So we need to stop that. Two, Mitt Romney. I saw a video during the break of Mitt Romney introduced because I wanted to hear him call him the president of the United States as opposed to the vice president. He said, and these were his words exactly, "A great man from the great state of Virginia that goes out of its way to protect our freedoms and has done for history." Stop it. Please, for the sake of our country and our nation, if you are going to be president of the United States, Mitt Romney, please stop talking. I am not against you because of the things you say. I'm against you by what you say, how you say. If you want to sound like an idiot, be my guest. Go for it all day long. Just like Rush Limbaugh. If you want to be prejudiced or you want to be this and you want to just tell your listeners how you want the situation to go, be my guest. I got no problem with that at all. Do your thing. But what I really do have a problem with is I really think that this whole situation where you keep trying to act as if this is the 1800s. This is the 17th. There is no protecting our freedoms. The state of Virginia does nothing but sit there and be the state of Virginia now. No one in the state of Virginia is going out of their way and making some national influential move that is protecting the freedoms of America. Nobody. Not one single person. Not a congressman. Not a representative. Nobody. Nothing is going on from the state of Virginia. So they're not some great state that has just been going out of their way to protect the freedoms of our American people for like they always have in history. This isn't 1776. We can't point to the state of Virginia or any other state and go, hey, it looks like they're carrying their weight this year. They send about 50,000 troops to the war, and that helped us win the war. No, that's not how it works. You guys are nuts. You're crazy. None of that's going on. They're just a state who votes. That's it. Yes, they're proud to be Virginians, and we have nothing against them being Virginians. But they're not like stomping across the United States as Virginians, holding up the banner of freedom, making it so guys like us can just keep that freedom alive. No, they go back to their parliamentary lights, and they're watching Dancing with the Stars every Monday and Tuesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday, whatever days that Dancing with the Stars is on. That's what they do. That's their thing. Done. In the books. Nothing else to discuss. They're no different than any other state. I hate when people go and they try to make something out of nothing. Make something out of something. Like, if there's something there, like, yes, Paul Ryan, good choice for Vice President of the United States. Even if they lose in 2012, which I'm hoping and I think that they might. But even if they lose in 2012, Paul Ryan's a great choice. They've now done with him what they did with Sarah Palin. The difference is that Paul Ryan isn't going to stick his foot in his mouth every other time he talks. So he's got a much more, he's got a much stronger and more vibrant background to who he is as a person. And he is going to be able to take that torch that they give him in 2012 and potentially run as the GOP frontrunner in 2016. They literally will. And we're going to have to get Travis Cook on the show. Because we know Travis has got something to say about that. I guarantee you Travis is happy about Paul Ryan. I know he is. Because Paul's a little bit more straight edge, hard edge. Here's what's really funny about Travis that I don't understand. Travis, although he is the most conservative of conservatives, he doesn't go to church. Usually it's your religious right-wing zealots that are the over-the-top whack jobs. And I'm not saying that Travis is an over-the-top whack job. I'm just saying they're the ones that are the extremes. Travis is an extreme who doesn't really go to church from what I know. He's not popping into church every single Sunday. That's not his thing. He's just your straight, true conservative. By the way, American Patriot beer, fantastic beer, American-owned, St. Louis-owned, an American lager. They're taking back America one beer at a time. And they do a great job. Fantastic tasting beer, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. That's the website. Go check out, find out a little history about them, who they are, where they're from, all that good stuff. Also, if you're over at the Shop and Save, you're over at the Schnucks stores, you're over at the local dispensaries in the St. Louis area or the St. Louis metro area or in your neck of the woods, I know that I have lots of listeners, thousands of listeners, actually, who listen to the show every week, some from Wisconsin, some from Chicago, some from Idaho, some from California. Hey, if you're in your local area and you got a chance, go over, talk to the people at your local dispensary, whether it's your favorite liquor store or your grocery store or whatever it is in your area. Tell them about American Patriot Beer. Say you want to try this stuff out. You want to get some of this stuff and you want to put it in your gullet. They got two great flavors, regular and light. So if you like a little bit heavier, got the regular. If you're trying to watch those calories, trying to watch those pounds, you want something that's a little bit more light and refreshing, that's what you go. Okay? Plus, they got the photo contest going on right now. Take a picture of yourself, right? Take a picture of yourself with American Patriot Beer product. Post it to their Facebook page, which you can find if you go to AmericanPatriotBeer.com, but I think it's Facebook.com/AmericanPatriotBeer. If you're on Twitter, it's Patriot Beer, at Patriot Beer. Post those pictures, and they're going to be choosing some winners. You need to be a part of that because they got great prizes for you. American Patriot Beer is a fantastic company that is now sponsoring the Q show, and I am proud to have them as a part of the Q family. We're going to try to get John Beal, the owner of American Patriot, on the show with me one of these days. We're going to sit down. We're going to have him on the show. We're going to talk to about his beer love, why he started the company, how he started the company. You know, we're going to try to get our guys from American Patriot on here. Plus, we've got some great giveaways that we're planning on doing. I need to get these things set up so that we can start giving American Patriot beer away and making you guys all happy. Also, if you guys can do a favor for me, I would really appreciate it. Hit up Monster.com. Go to Monster.com. Tell them about the Q show. Tell them that I want Monster to come on as a sponsor. I'm a big lover of Monster Energy drinks, and I would love to give away cases of Monster Energy drinks live on this show. I've got some giveaways that I'm working on right now, putting them together for the next few months. I want you guys, it's time for us to get out of here, but I want you guys to stay tuned with me. The Q Show is always going to be live. You're always going to be able to go to theqnow.com every single week for a brand new episode of The Q. Don't ever forget that. The KYRO Show, I need to talk to the guys, the powers that be. We have football season coming up for college football, and some of that might coincide with the same timing of the KYRO Show. So I need to talk to them about what day and time we're going to be doing the show live every single weekend on KYRO. If not, we might be switching it to a weekday. I'm not sure, but I'm going to find all that out. Check out theqnow.com. Old shows, new shows, best of. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Q on KYRO, 1280 AM, WestplexNewsTalk.com. We will see you guys next time on The Q. Oh, 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 my gosh.